Why, good morning, everyone. It is
Thursday, September 26, 2019. It's a congested Kent Braverman podcast. I'm getting better. I'm getting better from poison ivy and from getting a little cold fighting off poison ivy, but I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right now. And I am in Indiana on my way to the East Coast, and it was time to record a podcast. Watch out, because we're going in-depth and political on this one. Because it's been a day of news, and I've listened to a lot of it. So, interesting time, timely time when it comes to news right now. So, it's 3:45 a.m. on the 26th here of September, and over the next few hours, some poor government employee is sanitizing and declassifying the whistleblower report about the president and other people involved with the president, I'm sure. And we don't entirely know the foundation of what's behind the whistleblower report right now. We only got a transcript from the president, from the White House, about a conversation he had with the president of Ukraine. And he also met with the president of Ukraine today. And going over this, there's some obvious things that are already out there about the president. Not so subtly withholding a few hundred million dollars of foreign aid for a few weeks to try to pressure president of Ukraine into manufacturing a corruption story about Joe Biden's son, and manufacturing it, not just looking into it, but making stuff up. That's probably what was more in that call. There's some things that are redacted or not included in the transcript that the White House provided, and I'm sure there's a lot more in the actual whistleblower report. And that's kind of what I want to talk about, is why was this whistleblower's report an urgent issue? And there's something that Michael McFaul, former ambassador to Russia, said on one of the MSNBC shows earlier this week, when he was speculating about what was in the whistleblower report, which is declassified now and will become available on Thursday morning, most likely. So we'll be able to read it, and we'll be able to validate whether or not what I say is the truth. But so Michael McFaul said that there could be one of two things going on with the whistleblower report, which is what made it so urgent. Is it urgent that the president was going to withhold aid indefinitely, probably when the whistleblower filed this report, withhold aid from the Ukrainians that they're using to fight off Russia, who has taken some of their land and also wants to take more of it? That could be the urgent issue, that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the Ukraine because we're withholding this military aid from them. Could be that, but I don't think it's that. I think it's something else. And I think it is related to multiple phone calls that the president has had with other people. And I believe it is related to another part of the transcript that was released today, which has to do with CloudStrike. CloudStrike is the name of a security company that was hired by the Democrats to look into how all their information got hacked. And this CloudStrike company came up with a lot of the backbone that tied this hacking of the Democratic National Committee, DNC. The hacking of that was done by the Russians, and this CloudStrike company was able to prove that through the technical digital trail that was left from the hacking. And in the phone call that Trump had with Zelensky, is it? President of Ukraine, he talks about CloudStrike, and he doesn't word it properly because he doesn't really understand it. But what he's trying to say, I think there's a way. he's really trying to do this. He's taking instructions from Putin here, and Putin is telling him, we gotta change the narrative about us, the Russians, hacking the election, because it really diminishes Trump being elected when you realize that the Russians cheated, and that's what got him there. It's a sticking point. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to revisionist history here. They're trying to make it look like Ukraine was hacking the U.S. election, and Trump was going to goad them into doing it in the 2020 election, and the story was going to be the Ukrainians hacked our election in 2016, and they're doing it again in 2020. And they're trying to muddy the issue to make it look like Ukraine was hacking us and not Russia. Because Putin can use that to go and attack Ukraine more, to segregate Ukraine from the European Union, from the West. And so they're trying to blame them. This is Trump's way of living life, which is fuck something up and then blame somebody else. Find a way to move the culpability onto somebody else. That is all he does in his life, in everything. You watch how he's always looking for a patsy. And so he's taking that cue from Putin here and trying to make Ukraine the patsy when it comes to election hacking. Because one, it takes the onus off the Russians for doing the hacking, and it makes Ukraine look bad, which Putin wants Trump to make Ukraine look bad so Ukraine can be weakened so that Putin can go in and get more than just Crimea and reestablish the old Soviet bloc and add more land to the Soviet bloc. So the reason why this whistleblower what the whistleblower submitted is so important and so urgent is I believe that more to that conversation involved Trump discussing how they're going to frame the election meddling, essentially, and they're going to try to transfer it over to Ukraine. And anybody who was trying to talk some sense into Trump saying, hey, you've got to get your intelligence agencies in line with this, because your intelligence agencies are running around with the proof talking about how Russia hacked the election. You've got to change that narrative too. You got to kill that. And I think that what Trump did in his haste is he said something like, I'm going to take care of, I'll take care of the CIA. I'm going to take care of that. Like, I'll put somebody in the head of the CIA who's going to be consistent with my views, the same way that Bill Barr is consistent, is Attorney General running the Department of Justice. Bill Barr is blatantly and flagrantly committing felonies at the behest of Donald Trump. I don't know why he wants to go to jail. He's protecting his friends or something. There's a lot of... the mob is pervasive. There's a lot of people involved, a lot of money involved, and I think Barr is just there to try to keep these folks out of prison. And it's very dangerous with him running the Department of Justice right now, because there are no laws. There are only the laws that he wants to enforce. And if Trump is able to bully his Department of Justice into prosecuting political rivals or just prosecuting anybody he wants to put away, we are really on the way to banana republic. We've been inching there for years here, and that would just be like, you say something bad about Trump, he's gonna get you investigated and locked up if he could. Now the beauty of all of this is that people are starting to stand up, and they're not allowing Trump to corrupt them the way he corrupts everybody he comes into contact with. He's constantly, if he's not looking for a patsy to take blame, he's constantly pushing other people to break the law in so many areas. You could just grab like millions. He tells people, don't respond to subpoenas, don't respond to a lawful subpoena, don't testify don't testify before Congress when you could be thrown in jail if you don't. He just tells people to do this. And I really do believe that in his haste, he said something like, I'll take care of the CIA, or I'll get the intelligence agencies in line with me, and I'll get them towing the same line. And that is a threat to the intelligence agencies. If you're a conspiracy theorist, that's what got JFK killed, which was he was going to disband the CIA. And, people think that Lee Harvey Oswald's a sole shooter. Probably, but if he's not, it was definitely the CIA that killed Kennedy because he was a threat to the CIA. And once you start becoming a threat to the CIA, you're becoming a threat to U.S. national intelligence. Like, I trust a lot of the people that we have in the intelligence community. They didn't get there. They didn't get there being ignorant and incompetent. They got there, you know, in many ways, it is oftentimes a merit-based system when you're dealing with intelligence because results matter. So I trust the majority of the people that are in the FBI, CIA, they're good people. They're people just like you and me. And so when someone high up in the CIA was able to read between the lines and see what Trump was planning, it's very urgent and dangerous. Because at any moment, he could try to chop off the heads of the CIA and install acting people and cause even more damage. The reason why, we don't totally see it now, but we're going to start seeing it. The reason why Trump is so destructive is that he's able to corrupt others, and he's also breaking all the rules so that he destroys everything faster. He has to install acting heads of, like, the DNI, the Department of National Intelligence, Director of National Intelligence. He installs people, he corrupts them, and he's just trying to just tear everything apart because that's what Putin is having him do. But, the beauty of this. I always wondered why. I was like, if I was in one of these positions and Trump tried to corrupt me, I would stand up to him and just bitch slap him with the facts until he threw me out of the room, and that'd be the end of me. But I wouldn't allow myself to be corrupted. And what you're seeing out of the Director of National Intelligence, you can predict what his testimony is going to be tomorrow. It's going to be bad. It's going to be like Michael Cohen bad. He's not willing to be corrupted by the president. He's trying to follow the rules, but he's going to come in there and tell it like it is. He's going to be like, yeah, the president, DOJ, instructed me not to release this to Congress. I thought it should have been released, but they told me, don't do it. And, you know, here we are. Now things have been declassified. It did come out, so that's good. I don't agree with what DOJ and the president were forcing me to do. I don't think it's right. And once you read the whistleblower complaint and you see potentially what I was just saying is in there, which is, he's probably trying to either destabilize Ukraine for the benefit of Russia or discussing gutting the CIA and the intelligence agencies with whatever power he has. And that's the urgent threat, is that you're destabilizing the global structure by weakening Ukraine with Russia waiting to bully and pounce on them. That's one. Two, you're trying to dismantle the safety nets we have in place to operate a country, which are our intelligence agencies, among many other areas of government, departments of government, which he's destroying, like the EPA, you know, trying to say, hey, we can dirty up all the waterways. Who cares? Why would you want to pass a law that says that doesn't keep water clean, that allows people to dump all their pesticides into, like, national waterways that go across different states? Why would you ever want to do that? You don't. Nobody wants to do that. Only people that pay to or have to expend more costs dealing with what they pollute into the environment, those are the only people that don't want clean water because it's too expensive for them. Anyone in their right mind would realize that dirty water causes health problems and a slew of issues. So you would want to try to clean the water, right? Trump doesn't see it that way because Trump doesn't think of it that way, and Trump's getting bribed to pass that type of, you know, executive order, essentially, that rolls back all the EPA regulations. Well, what the beauty of what's happening now is people are now realizing that the tide is turning because Trump's crimes are becoming... We're able to visualize Trump's crimes on paper. I mean, they're there. Like, it's so apparent to everyone that even the Republicans in the Senate, who are pretty much the worst human beings on the planet, that are walking us into treason, that are destabilizing and weakening this country by rubber stamping everything Trump wants, that even those people have a line, and they don't, not only do they not want to go down in history as, you know, being on the side of a foreign influence tyrant and just totally being wrong about everything. It's not just that. It's also that he's becoming such a liability, which is the way it should be. It should be a detriment to you to support him. The 25%, top 30%, maybe 30%, of people that don't pay attention to the news and are just going to say, I love Trump, and not think, those people are shrinking because the press is just becoming worse and worse and worse. And also, they're wrong. And even if you want their... Well, listen, if you're a Republican and you're running in a district that's filled with Republican voters, it doesn't matter if you support the president. They're just going to vote... They're either not going to vote or they're going to vote for you because they don't know how to vote for anything other than Republican. I have tons of friends that are like this. They're good folks. They just never, ever vote Democrat because they look at it as like, freaking liberal handouts, you know, whatever. There's implied racism. There's applied to other things that cause people to always vote Republican. Well, if you go against the president, they're still going to vote for you because they're confused and don't understand how to pull the lever for anything other than an R. So that's not going to be a big... You can go against the president here, but here's the other reason. People, like, Trump is an abuser, serial abuser. Not only just a bully, but, like, he attacks people, not physically that we know of, but he browbeats people and he inflames and he trolls, right? Well, the Republicans in Congress and Senate, especially here, because they're the ones that hold the most power, they're sick of this. They also don't like Trump and don't want to have to deal with him anymore. It's a necessity that has pushed them into supporting him. Well, they don't want to. I mean, any loyalty to Trump is always razor thin because he's just going to turn around and stab you in the back when you're not looking, or to your face, but he'll do it when you're not looking. So there shouldn't be any real permanent loyalty to him, and there isn't. So now that everyone is all riled up and the news about how bad the whistleblower complaint is going to come out in the morning, and people are going to see just how devilish Trump is, there's enough public swell to bang this out fast, to set up the impeachment inquiry, to move it out of the Senate, and then we get to have some fun in the Senate. Because there are 52 or 53 Republicans, and we are going to put their names up on a wall, and we are going to go to their office, and we are going to get them to either, you know, hang their hat on the wall and call themselves treason, because that's what they're, traitors. You're just a batshit traitor if you don't vote to remove this president from office, who's a danger to all of us. And urgent, you are a traitor. You're a self-interested traitor if you don't vote for impeachment and conviction. So we get to just create an onslaught of facts and guilt tripping, and everybody's, the wives of those senators, no sex, nothing. That's right. But men, if you're married to a female senator, you're not fucking her. Nope. There is no sex for senators. We shouldn't even feed them until they take a stand and explain to us why they are not voting to remove this dangerous criminal from the White House. They are going to... It's not that you justify and say, oh, there's no there, I'm not voting for impeachment. You have to justify why
you are leaving this maniac in power.
It is a foregone conclusion that he is hurting all of us. He's a danger. He's nuts. Like, gotta go. I can't believe we made it this many years into his presidency before this is happening. I was calling for this, I believe, almost 2 years ago. I think 18 months ago. I was talking about just having somebody cuff him and put him in solitary. I guess we're not doing it that way, going about it the right way, which is impeachment. But I was concerned the Republicans won't vote for it, and they still might not. But we're going to make them all... You can pin the traitor on their forehead, and we will vote all of them out of office that we can. And if they're going to leave him in office, they're all going down with the ship. And they will forever be known as the Party of Traitors, because that's what they are. So let's not let them get away with it. Let's stand up. Let's take our country back.